This is Free Talk Live. We're kicking off hour number two of the Tuesday edition, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. Again, that's 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And we invite you to our website at freetalklive.com, where you'll find that everything is totally free. Unlike those other talk shows, they want to charge you $5, $6, or $7 a month for all the good stuff on their website. Well, we've got it all and more for free at freetalklive.com. So last night we had a gentleman call in from Montana, one of our affiliates up there, and we had an extended conversation with this dude about immigration, and of course he's totally in the dark in regards to why it is such an important issue. It's why allowing immigration is so important to freedom, and how cracking down on immigration is going to provide all of us with less freedom. And one of the things that the anti-immigration xenophobes out there, the immigration control zealots, if you will, love to tout is the story of Rome.
Well, you know, Rome is attributed to the fall of everything. I mean, somebody thinks about the fall of an empire, it's generally Rome, and then they blame whatever it is that they wish to blame for that fall on, you know, that's what happened to Rome. It was the gay people.
Too much porn!
You know, whatever. It might as well be, because they'll say, you know, that's what it was. It was, you know, lasciviousness that brought down Rome.
But last night, the claim was that it was the immigrants that brought down Rome.
Yes, it was the immigrants that brought down Rome in last night's claim. And, you know, I just sort of let that slide in one ear and out the other. It's just a, you know, Rome, okay. Like, you really know what brought Rome down. But anyway, I guess...
Sure, and it's not really relevant to today anyway. We're not in Rome. This isn't Rome. It's not the same system of government. It's not the same situation at all. It's apples and oranges anyway. But nonetheless, what was the true story, Mark?
Well, it looks like Christopher wrote us an email and he told us what the story was, and I believe him. I was listening to last night's podcast where Mike called in to complain about illegal immigrants. One of the things that he mentioned was that the illegals will destroy the United States, like they destroyed Rome and Greece. I keep hearing this from anti-legal, illegal zealots. Some revisionist historians seem to be spouting this idea that Rome was destroyed by illegal immigrants. Others have called the show and claimed immorality, abortions, and gays destroyed the Roman Empire. The truth, however, is far more simple. Big government destroyed...
It was immoral, aborting, gay immigrants that did it.
It was big government that destroyed the Roman Empire. A number of things happened that led to this, and I have tried to touch as briefly as possible, and it's not brief. but it's just a general summary, he claims, just in case you get a chance to read this on the air.
That's what I would have guessed, by the way.
Big government, yeah. Well, you know, we're just blaming whatever we want for the fall of Rome, and who knows? At this point, it's so far removed. The actual reasons for Rome's fall are as follows. The collapse of the Roman Republican government and the rise of a single ruler. Before there was a Roman Empire, there was a Roman Republic. The Roman Republic was something that even Ian would probably have approved of. The government was held in check by the Roman Constitution, which separated the government powers and kept them small. There were no police, no prisons. If someone committed a crime, individuals would have to bring a case against them in court. There were no district attorneys representing the state. Taxes were minimal. Different religions and cultures were not only tolerated, but adopted by the Romans, who fused them together and made them their own. Under this system, Roman culture dominated the Mediterranean and developed advanced technology, not surpassed until the 19th century. Seems like a heck of a claim there to me. Above all, there was a constant fear of abusive government. For the first 200 years of Roman history, Rome had been a monarchy. However, the kings became corrupt and were driven out. The monarchy was replaced with probably the world's first republican government. In this government, the legislature was comprised of four, more or less, the numbers changed several times, legislative assemblies, roughly similar to our House and Senate. The Senate was the equivalent of the executive branch and was made up of the most prominent members of the assemblies. Every year, out of the Senate were elected two men, the consuls, which were the equivalent of our presidents, except the two consuls had equal power and could veto the actions of the other. The main principle behind Roman Republican politics was that no man was given any power that was not checked by someone else.
Okay.
There was always a fear that a man would make himself king. There were problems with this system, however. For example, the Romans lacked anything like our Supreme Court, and as time went by, the lawmakers became more and more flagrant about passing unconstitutional laws, and if there were...
Sounds familiar.
Yep, and if they were popular enough to get passed, then there was no one to strike them down. The Roman Republic flourished for about 300 years. Then things started to change. In the wake of Rome's wars...
Yeah, small governments don't stay small, as we've found.
Yeah, unfortunately, that just seems to be how government goes. In the wake of Rome's wars, where it dominated the Mediterranean, real estate and slaves, captured from the enemy, became very cheap. The rich bought these two commodities up and built huge plantations run by slave labor. Citizen farmers who were, for centuries, made up the bulk of the populace were left unemployed and headed towards the cities for work, of which there was little. However, they formed mobs and voting blocks, bringing to power rich senators turned rabble-rousing demagogues. The Senate broke into two camps, the conservatives who were opposed, who opposed laws intended to support the poor on grounds that they violated the Constitution, and the populares, politicians who found support championing the urban poor. Mm-hmm. Two brothers, Tiberius and Caius Gracchus, members of the richest family in Rome, were the chief among these. They had studied in Greece and the direct democracy of Athens, where at one point gone, and that's where they had gone, and it had inspired them. They wanted to transform Rome into a similar government. Basically, it goes on to say that they made themselves Caesars. And
so
then,
these two guys were in charge of the two parties, or were in charge of one of the two parties?
Right, the populares.
Okay.
And, you know, they went on to, via rebellion to, make themselves, put up a Caesar.
Give themselves more power.
Julius Caesar came from the Popularis family that suffered badly, rose in popularity as a politician in the years immediately following the crisis. He advocated land redistribution and heavily courted the poor. Forming the first triumvirate with two other politicians, he came to dominate the Roman political scene and was elected consul. Caesar's gangs of unemployed men harassed other consuls into submission. Basically, they used the power of democracy to get what they wanted.
They meaning the people in charge?
Right.
Those guys, they used the poor to get votes to back up their political ideas to foist them on everyone else.
Right.
Okay.
Then, of course, more revolution comes along and a slaughter ensues, and the Optimates, that's the rich conservatives, were wiped out. The Senate was weakened significantly, and private property, the bulwark of the rights of citizens, now meant nothing to this Octavian, who had many of the farmers expelled from their lands. The farmers were expelled from their lands in order to give the lands to his soldiers. Those who argued ended up as slaves. Mm. Soon war broke out between Antony and Octavian. Octavian won, exchanged his name to Augustus, and was given gradually full control of the government and the armies. It seems that the Roman people, exhausted by years of civil wars, decided that it was much safer to have one man in control of everything and let the Roman Republic be replaced by the Roman Empire. So they just got tired of it. They were just
forget about being vigilant. It's over. Go ahead.
There were just too many crises put in their way, and finally they just let the empire take over.
Wow.
With Augustus's rule came known.
That's really strikingly similar, dude.
Yeah, a little scary. With Augustus's rule came what is known as Pax Romana. Civil war ended, prosperity returned, and the Roman populace was not only happy but free of any civic responsibilities. Augustus was a good ruler in the
like
end.
Like having to make decisions for themselves?
Right. Well, the history books aren't going to say about the few people who were just, imprisoned or whatever, mm-hmm. for whatever political reasons. They're just going to talk about, in general, how things are. And in general, right now in the United States, if you look at it from a bird's eye view, way up there in the heavens, things look pretty good.
Everything looks okay.
Yeah, looks fine.
Yeah, people moving around, doing jobs, their cell phones, TVs, and air conditioning.
Yep. Okay. Augustus was a good ruler in the end, and many historians believe that he intended for the Republic to be restored upon his death, but that did not happen. And it never would. Subsequent emperors...
Well, the road to hell is paved with good
intentions, and it sure is. Subsequent emperors were not so benign. In the age of corruption we often hear about associated with the Roman Empire came about. Emperors and members of their government had
men with total control over the area.
Had vast, nearly limitless Roman treasury to do with as they pleased. They lived lives of extravagance. Mm. Some emperors were responsible and just, others insane and self-indulgent. And the interpretation of laws changed over time. The power of the emperors grew under Augustus and his immediate successors. It was believed that the emperor was merely the first among equals, a common citizen who was entrusted with matters of the state. But in the second century, the jurist Ultipan made his famous decision that the sovereign is not bound by laws.
Whoa.
Mm.
All right, I want to continue this story here. 800-259-9231. Wait, the king of the country, the emperor, not bound by any laws. Again, the striking similarities between then and now are amazing. We'll come back with more. This is your show, Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
It's a combination of the best that public broadcasting has to offer
and NFL football.
We should pass a law mandating a cooling off period after the next 9/11 type attack. We know we're going to get hit again, and we know we're going to freak out and pass Patriot Act 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then we're going to feel bad that we acted in the heat of the moment.
Beating the ideas into the turf until something breaks. Common Sense with Dan Carlin.
Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs and the Alien Files 5 DVD set. TheUFOStore.com also offers the book Roswell, It Really Happened by Jesse Marcel, one of the last survivors of the Roswell UFO crash that examined the spacecraft wreckage in 1947, revealing its hidden secrets. Log on to www.theufostore.com and request a free UFO store catalog. To receive a free catalog by mail, call 541-523-2630. That's 541-523-2630. TheUFOStore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the Internet.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. Now available is the 2006 BioSolutions Plus. The BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. Bring up anything. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site, totally free. Shrine of Female Listeners is there with dozens and dozens of ladies that have taken the time to send us their validated photo, which means that in the picture, they're proving that they listen to the show. You can see what I mean by visiting the Shrine for yourself at shrine.freetalklive.com. Again, Shrine. freetalklive.com. Mark, we're telling the story of Rome and the fall thereof. What was it that contributed to directly to the fall of Rome? A lot of people don't know. A lot of people think it was immigrants. A lot of people think it was
debauchery.
debauchery, gays, I mean, you name it. There's all kinds of claims out there.
Orgies, disease, whatever it is.
But now, and let me just recap this. Make sure I've understood the story correctly. There's two distinct phases as far as Rome is concerned. There's the Rome Republic mm-hmm. and the Roman Empire.
Right.
It started as the Rome Republic. Things were fairly good.
And they conquered lands, you know, as the Republic, too. But it was in the Empire that essentially it was a change to the government as opposed to a change in the... In anything else.
Okay, so as I understand it, the Republic was more was fairly prosperous, fairly small government, or at least whatever.
The government grew as time went by.
Well, the government grew, and of course it grew because certain people got in control and pandered to the poor people and got their votes. And
they used the weaknesses of the system to grow the government.
Right, essentially took over, and all small governments that I've seen so far have had plenty of weaknesses. So they exploited those, took control, and it morphed into a, with the consent of the people, apparently, to an extent, it morphed into the Roman Empire.
With the Caesar and the whole thing. And essentially the Caesar had limited power early on, but his power grew.
Mm.
By the 2nd century, the jurist Ulpian made his famous decision that the sovereign is not bound by laws. The power of the emperor became limitless, but cracks soon appeared in the system. Since the position of emperor was unconstitutional, there was no way to decide his successor. For a while, the emperor would adopt a successor, but many generals found if they could use the army to kill the emperor,